Well, good morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather this morning and to begin this day. And Lord, we just know that you are here and you always hear our prayers, inviting us to come boldly to the throne of grace in order to obtain mercy and find help in time of any need. We thank you, Lord Jesus, as our high priest eternally, that you ever live to make intercession for us. So how blessed we are, how victorious we are. And here we are today, Lord. May we pray as you would direct us to pray, and may we pray for those who maybe are not in a position to pray today. Maybe the believers who are in pain or in great distress and just can't really pray. Or the unbeliever or the sinner who is so into sin that their prayers don't even get to the ceiling. But you will hear our prayers, Lord. This is the confidence that we have in you. If we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And we know that if you hear us, you will grant us the petitions that we ask. So lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the next 3 days, we're going to go through three different prayers in Numbers in the Wilderness March. And we just have so many applications there that I think it's always good to start a prayer meeting with a prayer in the Bible and be led as that prayer would lead us. And so today we will talk about three characters primarily: Moses, his older brother Aaron, and his older sister Miriam. And maybe you can identify yourself with these three characters in this prayer today and see where you come out. But the subject of the prayer really is jealousy and envy. And while I know that none of you are ever having any problems with jealousy and envy, there are people that do. So there's two things to look at in this prayer. One, how do you handle your jealousy and your envy? And how do you handle the jealousy and envy of others directed toward you? In the latter question, how much time does it take for you to go from a position of, get the knife out of my back or whatever, and Lord, strike him dead, to where Moses will be today, and that is, forgive them and you pray for them. How typical is it when somebody cuts you off on the freeway, do you pray for them? How long does it take you? First, you know, you go a little bit that way, and then maybe you'll get eventually to praying for them. But most of them are unbelievers that are driving in a great fit of rage. But whether they're a believer or not, they need prayer, don't they? So one of the things that struck me in this particular instance here is that when Moses and Aaron spoke out, or when Aaron and Miriam spoke out against Moses, Moses did not respond. Amazing. And so the idea that came to my mind is our Lord is our defender. And you can fight your fight or you can let him fight it for you. So I always like to start out just singing a song, singing a hymn, an old hymn here. But it came to mind the word defender. And oh, worship the King, our shield and defender. In verse 1, in verse 4, frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our maker, defender, redeemer and friend. So let's sing along. The notes are, your words are on your notes. Did everybody get one of these? Pick one up in the chair when you come in the morning, because without those, you can't follow along in the song. And if you fall asleep during the prayer time, you can read this later when you wake up, although I know that won't happen. So let's sing along here, if I can get the praise band on time here. Oh, worship the King.
Shield
Amen. Well, as we look at Numbers chapter 12, chapter 11, we've had a series of rebellion and murmurings by the Israelites and the children in their wilderness march. In the next chapter, they'll send out spies and then reject the spies' report. And because of that unbelief, they'll be 38 years in the wilderness. But today, we want to look at murmuring and complaining, and then the result of that, and it's really out of jealousy and envy of their brother by Miriam and Aaron. Now, in the preceding chapter, they were complaining about not having any meat. And so the Lord said, you want meat? I'll give you meat. I'll give you meat for 30 days. And he told Moses to appoint 70 elders. Now, from this chapter here, we see that apparently Moses appointed those all by himself. He didn't consult Miriam and Aaron, and they're jealous. God sent them the quail. They ate until it came out of their nostrils, and it was a bad scene, and a lot of them died. And so you would think, well, they learned their lesson. They asked for what they wanted. They got it, and then they overdid it. But in chapter 12, verse 1, of course, you know in the original there's no chapter break, so we don't know how long these time breaks are, but it says, Then Moses and Aaron spoke against Moses. Now, this is amazing when you're in the ministry and you have your own siblings coming against you. But here is what's happening. It's his own siblings coming against him. They're speaking out against him. It says because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman, but then you never hear any more about that again. I think that was an excuse. Their real concern is envy and jealousy as this story will unfold. Because look what they next said. Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? They're jealous. And it says, and the Lord heard it. Doesn't say Moses heard it, the Lord heard it. So whenever you are jealous or whenever you are envy of somebody else or whatever, the Lord hears it, doesn't he? He hears everything. He knows everything. And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. And then suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Now that's a calling, isn't it? It's really not a calling to higher honor. It's a calling to the woodshed, in a sense. God says, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings, and he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Be careful in coming against God's children. Be careful in coming against God's shepherds. So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, Aaron and Miriam, and God departed. What's going to happen next? Good things or bad things? When God gets angry and departs, you can bet there's no good things going to happen. It's going to be bad. So what happens? Cloud departs. The cloud departs. It was always over the tabernacle by day and the fire by night, but now it departs. From among the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam becomes leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. Now, there was nothing more feared in that period of time than leprosy, because it was common, and yet there was no cure for it. And it was a hideous, hideous disease. Because there was absolute quarantine, you from then on would have to be unclean, you'd have to be in a leper colony. That was the end of your days of contact with other people. End of your life. End of your life contacting your wife or your husband, as the case may be, or your children. You're a leper. And so here, Miriam is a leper. So, very extreme. But now Aaron, you know, Aaron is an interesting choice for high priest. Would you have chosen him for high priest material? I mean, he's a wiffly waffly guy. He builds a golden calf and then says, well, you know, I just threw the gold in and this calf jumped out, you know? Totally, you know, went the way with the people there. Now here he sides with Miriam. But now he's going to flip over because he sees, oop, this is not the right side to be on. So he says to Moses, oh, my Lord, oh, my master, really is what he's calling him. Please do not lay this sin on us in which we have done foolishly. How do you feel when you've done foolishly? Not so good, do you? Please lay this sin on us in which we've done foolishly, in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. So Moses responds. How would you have responded at this point? Serves her right. All those bad things she said. No, that's not the way you responded. Moses cries out. That word cries there is loud or very loud. He cries out in a loud voice to the Lord. And here is the prayer we're going to look at today. It's seven words. The longest word is six letters. So if you're around people and they say, I don't know how to pray. I don't know all those fancy words and all. Take them to this prayer. Here's the prayer. Please, that's the longest word, six letters. Please heal her, O God, I pray. Everything after that's four letters or less. How long does it take to pray that prayer? Please heal her, O God, I pray. Got a couple of seconds, 3 seconds. Very effective prayer, though. Very effective prayer. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit, and that word is either spit much or continually spitting, if her father had but spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Let her, Miriam, be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. So notice what the sin does. The sin not only affects the people involved, it infects the whole group. Remember Achan when he took the accursed things of the city of Jericho? And here, the march is stopped for 7 days. Because of her sin, she's outside the camp. They just got to wait for her to come back. So your sin affects other people. It doesn't just affect you. It always affects other people. It always separates and always affects other people. So in summary then, we see how envy and jealousy can rear its ugly head. But we know the antidote for that is repentance and prayer, right? And forgiveness. And on the other hand, when we're the recipients of envy and jealousy, and it hurts, and it really comes often from friends, not so much we expect it from the enemies, right? Usually the enemy isn't very envious of you. He just hates you. But your friends and those that you're working with, they get envious and jealous, don't they? So when that comes against you, how fast can you turn that from a position of, oh no, to a position of asking the Lord to forgive them? And if you've done anything to deserve it, to forgive yourself, and then pray for them. How long does that take you for that to occur? Or does it ever occur? The quicker you can come to that, the better, you know. The Lord just continues to give believers trials, and I think we should be very thankful for that, because if we didn't have those trials, how often would you seek the Lord? Maybe like your car, maybe an annual checkup, right? Lord, I'm doing really fine. I'll see you next January 1 again. In the meantime, I'm doing just great. But we can't even get through an hour without sinning, can we? And then we say, oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm desperate for you. I can't function without you. And he wants that closeness. He wants that closeness. So a great example of Moses not responding in spite and in anger and in rage and a continued hatred, but saying, heal her, O Lord, I pray. Well, Father, here we are today to pray. And as we begin, we want to just pray in this group. And the chairs are pretty well arranged, but particularly those in the front two rows, if they could pray pretty loudly so the ones in the back can hear, so we can pray in agreement, being led by your Spirit. And Lord, we'll pray for a time here as one group, and then Eventually, we'll break down into groups of a couple of people so half of us can pray all the time. And so lead us to pray, Lord, as you would. We want to pray for the conference, of course. We want to pray for the speakers. We want to pray for some technical stuff to be corrected, of course. And we want to pray for each one here at the conference. And we want to pray for those who aren't here as well. We want to pray for the body of Christ around the world. We want to pray for the lost, and we want to pray for the saved as well. We want to pray for kings and those in authorities, and we just want to pray as you lead us to pray. Thank you for this precious opportunity of gathering here in a room where it's comfortable, free from noise and free from distraction. And may we just seek you, sensing your presence, and pray as you would lead us. So lead us now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.